This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The Tobacco Road rivalry, arguably the greatest rivalry of all sports. The women's basketball teams of Duke and UNC face off for the first time this season tonight at Cameron Indoor Stadium. The men play Saturday in the Dean Dome. And in all the hype leading up to the game, student journalists from both schools cover their team extensively. And they use the rivalry to boost fundraising for their respective newspapers. Derek Saul is a junior economics major at Duke University. He's also the sports editor for the school newspaper, The Chronicle. And he joins me now to talk about what it's like to cover such a storied matchup. Derek, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's are you from this area?
I'm from New Jersey, kind of a classic Yankee coming down.
You're the guy
for
from
Duke.
New Jersey. Yeah. Okay, that's great. You're here. You knew about this, obviously. You wouldn't have gone to Duke if you didn't hear something about what goes on down here, right?
Absolutely.
So, what's it like to cover this kind of an event? As any journalist,
it's absolutely wild. I've been lucky enough to cover all sorts of really amazing things involving Duke basketball, and definitely the number one thing I'm looking forward to is getting to cover the Duke versus UNC home game at Cameron. There's obviously at the Dean Dome on Saturday, and it's absolutely wild. There's nothing like it. I mean, at Duke, you see there are hundreds of people sleeping outside for it. I mean, sleeping outside for a game that Duke's probably going to be favored by 15 plus points.
I love that the guy from Duke can't even say the name of the rival auditorium. That's just excellent. That's really so perfect. And talk about this rivalry edition that you've put together now. It's in its second year, right?
Yeah, so this is the second year, and we finished pages and finished the layout for it last night, and it'll be it'll be on stands Friday morning. but it's really, really cool. So it's essentially two 14-page papers that are together, and it's the Duke Chronicles, then it's also the Daily Tar Heel, and then it's kind of, I guess it's representative. I guess it's analogous to us coming together, but quite literally it comes together in the center spread where it's, you know, that's where it flips over. So you see it's one side's kind of Duke, and then you flip the paper, and then all of a sudden if you were reading the Chronicle, now it's 14 pages of the Daily Tar Heel.
And so you're doing the same kind of analysis you would of your team and the game from Duke's perspective, and then the UNC, the Tar Heel reporters are doing theirs, but all in one paper.
Yes.
Very cool. And in a way, this has also become kind of an important fundraising paper, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been able to raise a ton of money for it over the last 2 years, and it's been really incredible way to support our student journalists. I know from our perspective, I mean, we're able to do so much as a sports department. I mean, I was just up in Massachusetts covering the Boston College game. We were able to send another photographer and another writer, and I mean, yeah, the coverage that we're able to do thanks to all of this is truly outstanding.
So give us a preview of tonight's women's game, right? Tonight, the men's game is on Saturday. That's at the Dean Dome. The Cameron game is tonight, and that's the women's game. So give us a preview.
Yeah, so talking a lot about the Duke side, it's been a pretty frustrating season for Blue Devil fans. You have a lot of talent on the Duke side, especially some really talented seniors in Leon Odom and Haley Gorecki, and they've come up short a lot. And especially in the last few weeks, NC State came to Cameron. NC State, they were ranked 7th at the time, and Duke was leading the whole time. They were up 40-30 at one point in the third quarter, and they ended up losing. And now Duke is fighting tooth and nail to get into the NCAA tournament. And this would be the second straight year they missed the NCAA tournament, which would be first time in a very long time.
All right. High stakes, big game this tonight. And then again on Saturday, I want to turn to two people who came up with the idea for the rivalry edition paper and talk with them about the circumstances that brought them to the project. Chrissy Beck is general manager at the Chronicle at Duke. Chrissy, welcome to you. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's good to have you here. And Erica Perel is the general manager of the Daily Tar Heel. Erica, welcome. Good to have you here as well.
Thanks for having us.
Chrissy, let me start with you. Erica, let me start with you. We talked about the design of the paper, mm-hmm. but tell us more about the origins of this, particularly kind of as a fundraiser.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Chrissy and I have known each other for a long time, and for a lot of years, our two organizations said, we need to collaborate on basketball, right? We know this is this very intensely followed game, and we are in perfect position for it. And we never had a great idea. We always thought, you know, we need to think of something. About a year ago, year and a little bit ago, we were revisited that idea and, you know, kind of a few different ideas that had been planted in our heads came together. One was a board member of mine, Jennifer Rothacker, said, you know, if our Daily Tar Heel alumni knew how well the Chronicle alumni supported the paper in fundraising, they wouldn't stand for it. We have to compete against them. And so that was kind of like one thing that came out. And then our printer, Al Thorne at Triangle Web Publishing here in Durham, had told me about the Mad magazine that was published, I think, about a presidential election when he was a kid, where the front pages were upside down from each other. And so that was a grain of something. And all of those ideas just kind of came together as we want to collaborate on this print edition that's historic, but then also compete in the fundraising part. And what's really exciting about that is that it took both of our organizations, but all of the departments inside our organizations working together and kind of tearing down some of the silos that have existed in newspapers in the past.
That's one of the things, you know, competition is great for rivalries like this. And it used to be great, I guess, for the industry of media. Thank God it is dying, finally, the idea of competition, because we're all in this together and the stakes are very high. We talk about that, Chrissy, I mean, sort of breaking down the silos, but also how the fundraising works and how important fundraising is, because I'm not sure everybody understands how the newspapers at the universities are actually funded.
Right. The fundraising has become actually essential to us now. So both organizations hope to raise about $25,000 or $30,000 from this event. So our operational budgets have really taken a hit in the last decade. And one of the ways we can transform in this digital age and rely less on print advertising is by having our alumni give us a little bit of help with that. And they've been very generous.
Let me stop you there for a moment, because you talk about budgets. You don't get money from the university.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Both organizations are separate nonprofits from their university, and we're happy to be set up that way. I mean, it helps us cover not only our community, but the campus so much better that way. It's more analogous to what our students are going to go out and do, hopefully in the real world when they're done here.
Yeah, no, it gives you a lot more credibility. I mean, a lot of people are surprised to find that we don't take any money from the state.
Exactly.
They think that WUNC is state-funded. We're not. Right. And that allows us the kind of independence that we have both in fact and appearance. And so that's some. So tell me how the fundraising works, because you do make money through ad revenue, but of course, like all newspapers, that has been declining.
Right. And so I think both organizations are up to about 15 or 20% of our overall budgets are actually grants and contributions now. So within this 2-week period that ends Saturday, right at tip off, alumni and community members are going to our website, and they've been donating and helping us hopefully beat the Daily Tar Heel. Right now, they are kind of crushing us, which is killing me. They're up by $3,000 right now. And honestly, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about that.
Erica, tell
it's
me
hard
how
to lose.
Talk about the appeal and kind of how you make this appeal. What does the fundraising appeal look like? How do you set it up?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so there's, you know, it's coming from a couple of different places. But we really want to make the case that student journalism is journalism worth supporting, especially in the communities that we are in. You know, we ask people to donate because they hate Duke. We ask people to donate because they get important, essential news from the Daily Tar Heel. And we ask people to donate because, you know, because they understand that we're building the future of news. We're basically incubators for the future of news. And we have to be able to figure that out if we want our democracy to thrive in the way I think we all want it to in the future. So it's really not even just about can we cover the game and can we travel. It's really about, like, how do we transform into news organizations that are going to, you know, be a model for the whole country.
Well, I want to talk more about that and the role of even campus newspapers. We've had some pretty important events that had to be covered. Campus newspapers have played a role. But I do want to talk about this idea of competition, too, even in journalism. And Derek, as a young reporter and somebody who's had to collaborate with the enemy to put this thing together, how does that work? I mean, obviously, the rivalry is somewhat staged, but is there a sense of how do you work together with the other newspaper to put this thing together? Is it, were there silos that had to be broken down?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's naturally a sense of competition, of especially when you're at the head of like department, you want to be better than other departments. But the collaboration has been very easy from the start. I think a lot of that also had to do with this being the second year. And I know last year, I mean, my predecessor, sports editor, Mike Modell, like, I know there's a lot more work to be done of really setting up and breaking down some barriers. But this year has been really easy. I mean, we've really worked together well from the start.
I wonder how you have a sense of this business of competition in the media. You know, when I was growing up in this business, it was all about competition, and I was bashing my head against a lot of big, thick walls, suggesting to managers that this is stupid and that what we really need to do is work together. And of course, they would point to the ledger that was our budget and say, it doesn't work that way, kid. And I guess I understood that a little bit at the time, but that is not the case anymore. And I wonder how you come into this business, if you see it as something that you as a competitive business or a collaborative. What's your vision of sort of what you're doing, your job?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm very much naturally a competitive person, so I think it's natural to be competitive and want to use that to have better coverage. I mean,
yeah.
I think you want that of, oh, I want to be the one breaking this story. I mean, that's kind of it. The competition drives journalism, but I want to be the one to get the scoop. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how stuff gets out. I know that's been a really positive driving force mm-hmm. behind our department. But yeah, I mean, the more important thing, it's, I guess, instead of getting your name on the scoop, is if it's especially it's the public service journalism when there are things that need to be shared. I mean, and if that requires, and a lot of times it does, collaboration between different media sources, different outlets, whatever that may be. I mean, that's definitely essential.
Chrissy, what's your sense of what's happening generally and over time in terms of how people perceive journalism in general, but also a campus newspaper?
Well, I think actually the vibes are really good for campus newspapers personally. I mean, nationally, that's, you know, it's hard to deny. It's really eroded. The trust is just not there. But that's what makes college newspapers all that more important, right? So we're building up the next generation. And the hope is that they'll take those skills and take them out and they'll fix this problem. It's definitely worth a trying to do it that way, right?
And Erica, I wonder about even the divisions now. We see so much, you know, first of all, public relations has taken over many journalism departments in our country and has become the dominant force within them. So that's one silo and one set of walls. But even the distinction between print and broadcast and obviously multi-platform, social media, that sort of thing. Are we at a point where we have to stop thinking about a campus newspaper and start thinking about campus media? Where are we now?
Yeah, certainly. I think that, you know, the Daily Tar Heel is not about the paper it's printed on, right? It's really about the journalism that the students are able to serve the community with and the kind of the training ground that it is. You know, we consider ourselves a news organization more than a specific newspaper. Mm-hmm. And it's really, to me, very much about meeting the readers and the community members where they are. We are not up on our hill kind of deigning to put out the news in a format that they may not want, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much competition for attention. And it's really on us to make sure that we're figuring out what their needs are. What is the news? What are the information needs of our readers? And then meet them in whatever platform that might be, you know, whether it's digital, print, online, a broadcast, a podcast, radio, whatever it is. The important part is the community service journalism.
And you're often faced with big stories like Silent Sam that aren't just about campus events and that sort of thing. And so you've taught all these principles and you're going to enforce all the principles in every edition you put out. But suddenly the stakes go out and stakes go up, and you're working with very young, inexperienced journalists. What's that like for you as a manager of an organization like that, where it's got to be for real, it's got to be for keeps?
Well, absolutely, and I think the stakes have always been very high at the DTH, and you know, kind of with the stories that we cover and the watchdog role that we play, you know, I'm the general manager, but I don't have a direct role on the newsroom side in terms of directing coverage, right? It is entirely the students' First Amendment right to cover the news in the way they see fit. But I do obviously work a lot with them in terms of training and mentoring and advising. But one of our biggest kind of challenges is training people, getting them up to speed, taking them from zero to 60 as fast as we can, and making sure that they do have that grounding in ethics and the values that we believe in as an organization. That's definitely our biggest challenge. And the way to kind of overcome that is to, number one, just kind of live those values as much as you can, and, you know, make sure that the student journalists have to own, you know, their successes, and they have to own their failures and mistakes. And that's really the greatest teacher out there.
Chrissy, at the Chronicle, is this getting harder and harder to do as we see these values and ethics and standards challenged at every level, not only in journalism, but politics and public discourse?
Not really. I mean, believe it or not, what's, I think, so great, number one, the students come in at both schools just ready and smart, and just really, they have a great understanding of all these digital products, and they're so comfortable with all of it. But there's just this sense of optimism that comes, I think, with just being younger. They come in hopeful and looking for the truth. That hasn't changed.
That's good news. Okay, so Chrissy, who's going to win men's and the women's?
Duke is definitely going to win both.
You're saying Duke.
Yeah.
Erica, what do you think?
There's no question.
Well, I think UNC is going to win the men's game, the women's game, and the rivalry challenge.
All right. Derek, you'd be the tiebreaker, but you're from Duke, so you don't get to say anything.
Sure, I'll go chalk, too.
Okay. Chrissy Beck, general manager of the Chronicle, and Erica Apparel is general manager of the Daily Tar Heel. Derek Saul is the junior at Duke University, who is the sports editor of the Chronicle. Chrissy, Erica, and Derek, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You.